Gita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, sixth chapter, text number 30. Just now coming. Thirty, yes. Sahasra, Yuga, Paryante, Utayedam, Sisrikshataha, Marichi, Mishra, Rishayaha, Pranebhyo, Aham, Cha, Jagire, Sahasra Yuga Paryante, Utayedam Sisrikshataha, Marichi Mishra Rishaya, Pranebhyoham Chachagire, Sahasra Yuga Paryante, Utayedam Sisrikshataha, Marichi Mishra Rishaya, Pranebhyoham Chachagire. Sahasra Yuga Paryante Utayeta Sisrikshata Marichi Mishra Rishaya Pranebhyoham Chachagire. Ladies, Sahasra Yuga Paryante Utayeta Sisrikshata Sahasra Yuga Paryante Udayedam Sisrikshata Marichi Mishra Rishaya Sachagire Sahasra 1,000 Yuga 4,300,000 years Paryante at the end of the duration Utaya having expired Idam this Sisrikshataha, desire to create again. Marichi Mishraha, Rishi is like Marichi. Rishayaha, all the Rishis. Pranebhyaha, out of his senses. Aham, I. Cha, also. Jagire, appear. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. After 4,300,000,000 solar years, when Brahma awoke to create again by the will of the Lord, all the rishis like Marichi, Angira, Atri, and so on were created from the transcendental body of the Lord. And I also appeared along with them. Purport. The duration of a day in the life of Brahma is 4,320,000,000 solar years. This is stated also in the Bhagavad Gita. And for this same period, Brahmaji rests at night in Yoga Nidra within the body of the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, the generator of Brahma. Thus, after the sleeping period of Brahma, when there is again creation by the will of the Lord, through the agency of Brahma, all the great rishis again appeared from different parts of the transcendental body. And Narada also appears. This means that Narada appears in the same transcendental body, just as a man awakes from sleep in the same body. Sri Narada is eternally free to move in all parts of the transcendental and material creations of the Almighty. He appears and disappears in his own transcendental body, which is without distinction of body and soul, unlike conditioned beings. Sahasrajuga paryante utayedang sisrikshataha marichi mishra rishaya pranibhyohang chajagire. After 4,300,000,000 solar years, when Brahma awoke to create again by the will of the Lord, all the rishis, like Marichi, Angira, Atri, and so on, were created from the transcendental body of the Lord. And I also appeared along with them. Om Jnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupagada Mayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Ghor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam karoti vachalam pangum mangayate girim yat kripadam maham vande sri guru dinataranam paramananda madhavam si chitanyeshwaram vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasandubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. So with the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, here in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni is explaining not only his own life, but also about universal time. And he is stating that after the slumber of Brahma, when he awoke again by the will of the Lord, he started to create. And what was the first things that he created? He created the rishis and sages, like Marichi, Angira, Atri, and also Narad Muni. They're all considered the direct or the immediate sons of Lord Brahma. Some of them came from his mind. Some of them came, Narad came from his heart. So they're all original personalities that have been there from the beginning of creation. And they appeared in order to fulfill their service of giving guidance, giving enlightenment, giving direction to the living entities of this day and age. This morning we heard from Srila Prabhupada in his purport, where he said that as long as one is conditioned by the three modes of material nature, one is not able to actually move or traverse in this world very swiftly. But the more one becomes surrendered to the will of the Lord, the more swiftly one can move. This world is known as Durga, Durga, Durgama, what makes going difficult. Just like we've experienced sometimes some congestion in the LA area. Have you noticed there's some traffic congestion happening when you're moving or trying to move? So, but a person who is not moving on the plane of the 405 and the 5, a person who is moving on a higher realm, they will probably experience less congestion. Of course, LAX is also congested, so if you're flying, that also might be a problem. But a person who has a transcendental body like Narad Muni, he does not face these problems. He can go anywhere, at any time, at any place, at will. Why? Because he is in a transcendental body, fully in tune with the desire of the Lord. He is simply trying to carry out the desire of the Lord, and thus he moves in a different realm, in a different sphere. Just like, for instance, to give you a mundane example, if a person is a little wealthy, they may have their own jet, so they do not have to go through all the hassle that commoners have to go through. If a person is of a governmental status, they may have diplomatic immunity, they may not have to go through all the things that common people may have to go through, but they're still confined to this world of names and to this time and space. But Narad Muni, he is free from such subjugation, because he is fully in tune with the desire of the Lord. That proves to us that the more we become in tune with the plan and the desire of the Lord, the more we become freed from the influences of the modes of material nature and from this law of gravity and time and space. Now, 4,300,000,000 years sounds like a very long time, isn't it? For some people, even sitting through 40-minute Bhagavatam class seems like a very long time. It seems like a great mental anxiety. You know, how long will this go on? What is he going to talk about? I have heard this before. So, I don't know. That's what comes to my mind sometimes. I don't know what comes to your mind. You know, let this never end. Let this go on forever, right? So, this verse that we're reading today sounds pretty similar like a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, where in the 8th chapter, Krishna is saying, Sahasra juga paryantam maharyat brahmano viduhu ratrim juga sahasrantam teho ratra vido janaha. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. So Brahma, that's his day, his night is of the same time, and he lives 100 years. And the coming and going of Brahmas is considered by Srila Prabhupada in one of his purports like the bubbles in the Atlantic Ocean. Have you ever seen bubbles in the ocean? How many bubbles are there? Unlimited. They're coming and going. Nobody even pays attention to it. But we are thinking our life is so important. We are here and we are having great impact. We are making great achievements. But Brahma, his life is practically forever from our point of view. This morning I got gifted a flower, and on that flower I saw a little bug. There's some insects on flowers. That's why people who have weak immune systems should stay away from flowers and flower garlands, right? So, and I brushed that bug off, and a bug was walking on the temple room floor, and I was just contemplating and thinking, oh, how long are you going to live, bug? Huh? Bug off. Where are you going to? Who will step on you? But then I was thinking, well, in comparison to higher beings, I'm the bug. And they're thinking, oh, this guy, you know, he's just here and tomorrow he's gone. So everything is very relative to our own sense of perception. I was hearing a lecture this morning by Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he's saying that devotees have to be sincere and serious. What does sincere mean? sincerus, without wax. Sculptors who would do marble work would use wax to cover the cracks. So a sincere mason was a mason who would not do that. His work was so flawless that he didn't have to cover up his discrepancies. So he was considered sincere. He's a sincere worker. He's not trying to hide anything. Now in this world, it is very difficult to ascertain someone's motivation. In fact, it is almost impossible. But what about detecting our own motivation? Is that possible? In the story of Lord Ramachandra, when he was exiled and he was in the forest, and he was in the kingdom of Maharaj Guha. Guha was in the forest as a forest dweller, a king. And he gave shelter to Lord Ram and Sita and Lakshman. And Sita and Ram were sleeping peacefully in the beautiful flower bed that was arranged by Maharaj Guha. But because it was in the middle of the forest and there was a lot of ferocious creatures around, so Lakshman, he had taken this vow that I will not sleep till Ram is back in Ayodhya. And he was guarding Ram every night. So he was going around Sita and Ram, circumambulating them with bow in hand. Now Guha was watching this. And he was thinking, why is he carrying bow and arrows? Maybe he wants to kill Ram and take his post, usurp his position. So he was circling around Lakshman with bow and arrows in hand. And the soldiers of Maharaj Guha, they were watching Guha and they were thinking, what is he doing? Holding his bow pointed at Lakshman. Maybe he wants to kill him and he wants to take over. So they started circumambulating Guha. So in that night, nobody slept except Sita and Ram. And everybody was thinking, my intention is honorable. I am serving the Lord. I am looking out for the best interest of the Lord and the mission of the Lord. Meanwhile, holding their bow and arrow pointed at another devotee who was trying to serve the Lord. Have you ever felt yourself in such a situation? Has this ever happened to you? Or is it just me? It's kind of ironic, isn't it? You're trying to serve the Lord, and there are other people pointing their bows and arrows at you, and they're thinking the same thing. And at the end, you feel like, what are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? When Srila Prabhupada came, he saw the deficiencies. He saw the plight. He saw the defects of this age of Kali. But he also saw the opportunity. He also saw the spark of desire. And he fanned that spark. And he did not pay so much attention to the defects and to the distorting frequencies that were there. But he fanned the spark. And he allowed everyone to do service. And he gave everyone the benefit of the doubt, even if they may or may not have they may or may not have they may or may not have deserved that benefit of the doubt. So we cannot judge others people's motivations. We can only try to ascertain our own level of motivation. But how do we do that? Because self-preservation is the first business of the mind. The mind always tells us, you're a good boy. You're a good girl. You're doing just fine. Has this ever happened to you? Or is it just me? Now I have to change the discourse because one of my teachers is coming in. So We cannot know people's motivations, what to speak of knowing our own motivations. So how do we become more conscious of our own motivations? Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Why were the first created beings, rishis, sages, and munis of the caliber of Atri and Marichi, Angira, and Narad Muni? Because by their association, people would become aware of what is the proper course of action and what is my position, what is my situation. Because that's what happens when you're in face with the sun. You not only see the brightness of the sun, but you also see your own minuscule position. So Srila Prabhupada created this institution for us to take advantage of the association, the sangha of the devotees. But how often do we take that advantage? And how often do we stay insulated? We stay desensitized. We stay emotionally detached from the association of the Vaishnavas. Because of what we heard yesterday, and it was a very, very important point to ponder upon, the difference between envy and jealousy. When we have the six enemies, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarja, envy is one of them. Envy doesn't just mean, oh, I want what you have. No, envy means, I want you to suffer. I want you to go down. And if we honestly introspect in our heart, there may just be sometimes a slight trace of that envy that is still lingering. Which is originally stemming from envy towards the Lord. And anyone, any living entity who has got yad yad vibhuti mat satvam srimadur jitame, anyone who has got a little bit of a spark of that splendor, we think, ha! I know that. I know that opulence. I want it. And I'm envious of that person. I want him to go down. Now, what is the remedy against envy? How do we cure ourselves from this ridrogam, from this heart's disease that is blocking us from taking advantage of the association of the Vaishnavas? The Bhagavatam is telling us, that whenever and wherever devotees get together and hear the Bhagavatam, what happens that during that time, envy becomes eradicated from their heart. Envy becomes eradicated. That's quite spectacular. So if we continuously hear the Bhagavatam, then envy will become eradicated from our heart. Because it is envy that is blocking us from taking advantage of the association of Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are available. We may say, it's not my kind, not my type, not my this, not my that, but Vaishnavas are available. But what's blocking us is our envy. So how do we overcome the envy? By continuously hearing Bhagavatam and by serving those personalities that we're envious of. Now that's a hard pill to swallow because you may say, I'll do anything, but I don't want to have anything to do with this fella. Because this person is really going, you know, really going against my... I'm not vibing with that person, right? So I don't want to have anything to do with that person. So how do we serve them? We serve them by showing appreciation, by helping them, by glorifying them, by serving them. When the sages got together and wanted to perform the sacrifice, what happened? Did it work? No, they all got black from the smoke. So they understood change of action, change of plan, you know. We have to change our strategy here. It's not working. As it is stated, Kriteya Dhyayatovishnum, Tretayam Jato Makai, Dvaparavi Pariyaryayo, Kalaudha Tarikirtana, that in different ages, different processes are recommended. As in Satya Yuga, people were meditating. In Treta Yuga, they're performing big fire sacrifices. Then they were performing deity worship. But in Kali Yuga, all these things don't really work that well. What works well in this age of Kali is Harinam Sankirtan. So instead of continuing with their yajna, they decided to hear Bhagavatam. I was in Udupi once and an Ayurvedic doctor told me, you know, in this age, Ayurvedic doctors are not very good. And I can tell you, I'm one of them. And he said, you know, and medicines are not very good either. Nor are the patients really patient and ready to follow the prescriptions. So actually in this age, everything's bad. But there's one good quality. And I said, doctor, what is that? Can you tell me? What is that good quality? He said, simply by the chanting of Hare Krishna, you can achieve the highest goal in life. I said, doctor, are you a Hare Krishna? Are you a Hare Krishna? And he said, of course I'm a Hare Krishna. Because in Udupi, everybody's a devotee of Krishna. When I gave him Prabhupada's books, he stood up, he took off his shoes, and I saw the holes in his socks because he was a bachelor. And he gave me with folded hands 101 rupees and he received Prabhupada's books. So, when Shukadeva Goswami appeared, Narad Muni was present. The who is who, everybody was present. Nobody said, oh, he's my son. Oh, I know this kid. Huh? Or he's second generation, or he's, you know, 118th generation. He can't possibly speak. No one was pulling rank. No one was throwing any type of attitude around. Everybody was happy. Everyone was eager to hear. The glory of a leader is to see how well has he trained his students, his successors, and how much is he, his happiness is to see their success, their greatness. Prabhupada was happy to see Jamuna chant. Huh? He was happy to see his devotees give class. That was his satisfaction. That was his joy. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahetara Pravartan. If we're suffering from institutional constipation, then the antidote, the enema, is to engage in Harinam Sankirtan and to selflessly study the Bhagavatam and serve the Bhagavatam by serving the Bhagavatas, the devotees, and by sharing this message with one and all in a non-sectarian, non-judgmental way. But if people come here and they see the same institutional, territorial insecurity, they will say, I already know that from my company, from my corporate, you know, experience. I already know that from my other circles that I happen to frequent. So I thought you're spiritual people. I thought you're practicing spiritual life. Huh? Therefore, it is important that we get together periodically and study the Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, on a daily basis. And I'd like to read you something from the third canto. That is one of my favorite verses. This is third canto, ninth chapter, text 29. Krishna speaking to Brahma after he appeared and he shook Brahma's hand and he congratulated him for his tapasya. And he told him, O Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. Have you ever been anxious or depressed? just to see if there's any relevance, if there's any connection here. Anyone here been anxious or depressed lately? Yes. Yes. I can feel your plight. I feel very similar oftentimes. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, any person authorized by either the Lord or his bona fide representative is already blessed, as is the work entrusted to him. Of course, the person entrusted with such a responsibility should always be aware of his incapability and must always look for the mercy of the Lord for the successful execution of his duty. And in the coming verses after that, Krishna told Brahma to situate himself in intensive meditation, follow the principles of knowledge in order to receive his favor. The directions are to come from within, and there is no necessity for anxiety in that task. Krishna told Brahma that his desire is to increase the population and that the Lord's mercy will increase upon him for all time. In the purport of one of these verses, Prabhupada states, a pure devotee of the Lord, being cognizant of the facts of the particular time, object, and circumstances, always desires to expand the number of devotees in various ways. So in this way, he compares Brahma's increase of population to the preacher's increase of devotees. So we can see here how the selfless mentality of wanting to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere at once. And this was embodied, this was exemplified by Srila Prabhupada, who was like a touchstone, touching countless people's lives and sending them to all remote corners of the globe to bring forth this message of Krishna consciousness. And to be part of this mission means to meditate and to ponder very deeply, how can I imbibe this mood and this spirit in my own life? And not become stifled by envy, by institutional insecurities, by territorial concerns. How can I become a servant of the Vaishnavas and all living entities? To give them this opportunity to hear the Bhagavatam. Unless people hear the Bhagavatam, how will they ever get free from this envy? And how will we ever get cured from our own last vestiges and traces that might still be lingering? The conception of I and mine is the greatest anomaly. Because this identification or misidentification with what we consider ours and me. This is who I am and this is what I do. It is very strong. It is very deeply rooted in our conditioned psyche. But by performing Harinam Sankirtan, we create new impressions. And it is actually not an imposition on the mind, but we are unveiling all these layers, these coverings, these curtains that are separating us from our true higher self. I asked Subhas Prabhu a couple of days ago, what is the antidote against narcissism? We are faced with different types of manifestations of this narcissism on a more personal, subtle, or gross, or nationalistic level. And so what is the antidote? What is it that will actually help us overcome that? And his answer was that if we sincerely and seriously chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then there is hope that that we will be able to overcome this narcissism. Speaking from personal experience, I'm very much dependent on the mercy of the Vaishnavas because my chanting is not so pure and attentive. And I have come here to take Sangha. And I've been very blissful and successful in my attempt because there is a lot of Sangha that is available. These temples are oases. They're places of refuge. An ashram is a place where you can take shelter and gain strength from which to practice Krishna consciousness. So when I am asked to give seminars on leadership, I always ask whoever is there in the room. I don't want to call them my students because that's a big word, you know, in this transient world. The people who happen to drop in. I always ask them, Suho, who are your friends? Who are your mentors? And who is your loyal opposition? And people kind of look at me like, what do you mean? I mean, I'm contrary. I oppose myself. But who is my loyal opposition? Yeah, who are the people who know you well enough and have earned your trust and you allow them in your inner circle and you listen to them? They don't agree with you. And they tell you where you are making mistakes and you can learn from them. Huh? Mentors? Everybody will say, my Diksha Guru, right? Isn't that the battle cry, the credo? My Diksha Guru. Excuse me, we're not a Diksha Sampradaya, we're a Shiksha Sampradaya. So where are your Shiksha Gurus? Where are your guides, your mentors, your well-wishing friends? Where is that Sangha? Huh? That makes them think a little bit. Say, okay, make a short list. Write down the 3 or 5 names for each category. And it gets pretty thin if you look at the paper. So Srila Prabhupada has given us this wonderful ISKCON movement to develop all these relationships, and I feel extremely fortunate and blessed that I have so many mentors, guides, and role models, and also people who are my loyal opposition and my friends who remind me of my shortcomings and deficiencies. A friend is a person who can challenge you, who can tell you, hey, you know, snap out of it, you know, like get over it. Just, and that is very much required, because when I meet people on the street, they look at the book and they look at me, and if the two things don't match, then it's no go. It doesn't work. And how can they know? Because Krishna is in their heart. The same Krishna that's guiding Narada Muni and Angira and Atri to be in the right place at the right time. The same Krishna is in the heart of all these living entities. And if I'm not truly devotional and pure in my intent, that Krishna will tell them, he's a fake. Just don't pay attention. Just you know, ignore him and walk off. Now someone might say, why is Krishna doing that? I mean, here I am, sincere, trying to seriously serve the mission. And you're telling me the Lord in the heart tells them to ignore you? Yes, exactly. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Why? Because Krishna is more interested to make moi, this little insignificant fool, become more sincere and serious. And that person will still get the book. Sometimes people say, you know what, I've been looking for this. I want this book. I will take this book, but not from you. How does that make you feel? Somebody says, you're teaching the right thing. It's exactly what I came for, but I'm not going to attend your class. And they may not even give you the reasons. It may just be something inside that tells them, now is not the time, or you're not the guy, or... But is that a problem? No. Srila Prabhupada came to give us this system of Krishna consciousness, not a personality cult. It's a system, a process of Krishna consciousness. Personality cults don't sustain. We have seen people who ran faster and jumped higher and were smarter than many of us here in this room. But they're not here today. Why are they not here today? Because they were not team players. They were not performing Samyak Kirtan. They were not capable of keeping their egos in check. And being ecstatic to see other people come up and other people score. That is a team player. A team player is excited and happy to play a pass, to see someone else score. Just like Bhrigupati Prabhu, who's been patiently tolerating me for decades and encouraging me and even giving me the mic today to speak, because otherwise I wouldn't have a voice. Huh? Besides my ramblings here on the curb. But because he is taking pleasure in seeing junior devotees like myself perform service. That is his joy. And that is his greatness. So we can all become inspired by that. And there's a lot of opportunity. I saw a lot of people yesterday who were very inspired by the talk and very inspired by the feast, which was a fantastic feast, by the way. And then they were kind of socializing amongst themselves. I didn't see any devotee interact with anyone. Maybe because they're already all devotees, I don't know. I was lacking that vision. But usually Sunday program is a good opportunity to have all hands on deck and try to catch some of those bright, you know, faces and interact with them. But of course, there's a lot of service, there's a lot of activities going on. So I am very satisfied with my visit because I got what I came for. I got Garuda Prabhu as a value-added bonus. I didn't know that you were here, but I was very happy to find that out. And got to see Panchatattva and Laguna after 20 years. You know, when you get back to a place and you think like, man, it's been 20 years. 20 years. Two decades. Time is just going like this. What am I doing? Where is my life going? Am I making progress or am I still making the same mistakes? So to cultivate this Sangha is a daily strive. It's something that we should invest in daily and not something that's just, you know, optional. Because without this Sangha, it is very difficult, very hard to make progress. We may say, oh, these stellar personalities, they're just moving on their own. They're all loners, right? Right? Wrong. Narada Muni is teaming up with Angira Muni, with Parvata Muni, with others. They're moving in groups. They're moving in teams. They're always associating. Even when it seems like they're in different geographical locations, because they're in the same mood, in the same mindset, in the same spirit, they're always connected. You remember when you were, I don't want to speak of the past, but when you were in the fire of book distribution, and there were some people in Ohari Krishna Airport in Chicago, and some people were in LAX, and some people were in Denver, and some people were down in Miami, and you were all feeling like you're connected, the same wavelength, because you're part of the same team, working for the same cause. It's a very strong, tight bond of unity of purpose. And that gives us a glimpse of that unity that the soul can experience with Krishna when we surrender to His desire and to His wishes. And He is feeling the plight, the pain of the conditioned soul. And that's why Krishna is appearing. That's why the rishis and munis and sages and all the teachers are appearing in order to alleviate the Lord from this suffering condition of feeling separation from His parts and parcels. So we all have this wonderful opportunity to team up in this Sankirtan team of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is a training ground. Jananivas Prabhu in Mayapur told us in this Bhagavatam seminar that usually it takes three lives, like Maharaj Bharat, it takes three lives to perfect. That's the standard procedure. But he said, if you're a pujari, you're already trained up. One life is enough. Because you already take that training by serving the Lord directly every day. So, it should be a impetus to try to be part of that team. Everybody wants to be part of that team, right? Even if you carry the water or you carry the toolkit, you know, if the team wins, you still get a ring. You're part of the team. You're connected. So I'm very excited to be here in New Dwarka and see the Sankirtan team here. When I'm sometimes stranded in some strange place, in some strange lands, I can just tune into Mayapur.tv LA channel and I see, you know, Brigupati chanting his rounds, and I see, you know, Suhasprabhu, when I see others doing, I feel okay, it's all right. The world's in order, you know? Like there's still some sanity. Still things are going on. Huh? Of course we can always improve. There's always room for improvement. So these are some reflections on this verse. Any comments, corrections, or questions? Yes, Garuda Prabhu.
Hello. Okay, sounds very good. Yeah, I'm actually quite amazed at this sort of miraculous connections that book distributors make when they go out, you know, and the energy required for that, the energy to connect with one's own inspiration and to have that sort of displayed enough in enthusiasm. For others to also get that kind of inspiration and so on, but it strikes me as a kind of it's a performance task, you know. Anyone who's used to public speaking, for example, the audience is very much affected by the speaker. So if the speaker is very nervous, the audience gets very nervous. If the speaker is very confident, the audience can be quite confident. You know, if the speaker is receptive but yet projective, then the same thing with the audience. So really, it seems to me that the miracle starts with the book distributor, him or herself, right? Would you agree?
Partially. Yeah, because for me, it's not so much a question of inspiration than a question of desperation. I started...
So you go up to someone and say, I'm desperately needing to sell this book to you.
There's different techniques.
Oh, okay.
And
that's one of them, huh?
That's one of them, yes. Another one is just begging. Like I have a friend who is a retired special forces, a military, and he's quite a, you know, assertive kind of a person. But I ask him, what's your secret to distribute? And he said, I just beg. I just beg people. And, you know, when you have this big guy who just begs you, I mean, people kind of get it. So for me, it was more of desperation. I just saw, this is my chance. I need this. And I started very young, when I was 15, not very eloquent. So, but I had very magnanimous teachers who helped me to get over it pretty fast. In one way, by throwing me off the deep end, just right into it, but also by allowing me to watch them and associate with them. And they were freely sharing their experiences. There was no such thing as keeping your cards close to your chest. Oh, this is confidential and privileged, confidential information. We're not be able to divulge that. No, they were like, I will give you whatever I have and more because I want you to succeed. And that's still how I feel about my mentors. And that has boosted and that has built me in my spiritual life and in my sankirtan. And one of my friends, Harinamananda Prabhu, his mantra, his sutra is just don't get in the way. Just let it flow. Just don't try to insert yourself where you don't belong. Just be happy to be there in the moment when the magic happens. Just be happy to see how Krishna is performing his sankirtan pastime. And you're allowed to witness. You're allowed to be there to see. Like in the rasa dance, there's a whole lot of people who are there and allowed to see to different degrees. They were seeing different things depending on their level of, you know. So if we are, it is somewhat frightening. At the same time, we know that the safest position is in the jaw of the Lord. It's a little frightening, but it's safe.
I like the term frightening. I mean, I think more now. I think there's much more sophisticated processes of, you know, mentoring people who are experienced and so on. Back in the old days, I mean, I was, you know, thrown in a van and given two big boxes of BTGs, yeah, and dropped off in the middle of an intersection of, you know, four lane roads on either side, and I'm supposed to, you know. Back then, there were not so many electric windows, so you know, you used to go like this, you know,
that was the
down your window.
That was the mudra, yeah. That was the mudra.
Yeah, that was the mudra. You know, like, and you know, you had to like, you know, I got something to tell you or show you, you know, and of course, I had no idea when I'd ever be picked up. There were no cell phones, or I mean, you know, it's like I was out there for hours and hours and hours, and I even ran out of BTGs. And I was just kind of standing around like a lost puppy dog, really. And, you know, waiting for my master to pick me up. And finally they did. But, I mean, today is just much more sophisticated. You know, there's more mentoring. There's more training. There's more sensitivity training, I think, about being sensitive to the person to whom you're by the way, I sold a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas yesterday. I don't know if you know that. But I didn't complete the sale. I mean, that's for others here. That doctor that is visiting here now, he's just come to town. I told him he needs a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas.
Nice.
And I said, you're right in the place where, you know.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah. One small just point of notice. When I went door to door in 85 was my first marathon, and I was Bhakta Niko, and I was in Vienna, stationed in the temple, didn't have a driver's license, just went out by myself from the temple with a little, those trolley, these push carts, you know, that the post office guys have. I just loaded it up with 100 Mahabig and big books, and I took the tram in Vienna to go to Westbahnhof, Ostbahnhof, you know, east and west. There's many train stations in Vienna. Vienna is like the hub to the east. I asked the body, how do you distribute 100 books? They say, you just don't stop till you crack it. You just continue. You just push. And so somehow we had faith in what our seniors told us. And we followed orders. And it actually worked. And at the time I was going door to door, and one lady, middle-aged lady, very posh neighborhood, she talked to books. And then she said, my nephew has been to India. And somehow I felt inspired. I said, can you give me the contact? And she, you know, it wasn't like, see, she just gave me the number, and I called him, and he came to the temple with his friend. They were long-haired and red-eyed. They just smoked some dope in the forest before coming to the temple. And they were kind of like, we've been to India, we know all this, but it's okay, we appreciate, you can show us the temple. And then at the end, I showed them the Bhagavatam set, and they just paid for it and took it home. And make a long story short, they were like the leaders in their little village of their tribe. And there's a lot of youth connected to them. And then Bhakti Churumaraj came into the picture and they really took a liking to him. He kind of just hit that vibration, you know? Mm. You know when it gels, when it vibes, so they kind of hit it off. From that group, about 25 people got initiated. Not because I asked that lady for that phone number, but because when Krishna tells you, go the extra mile, you run after this guy now, you pay attention, yeah. Hear his story, be considerate and kind, and we extend ourselves beyond the call of duty, then Krishna can actually use us as an instrument. And it is the most fulfilling, rewarding, and blissful experience in life to realize this is bigger than me. This is not just me walking on my own legs, using my own faculties, but this is the Lord using me as an instrument. And I don't know which one of the seven steps of samadhis it is. We call it Sankirtan Samadhi. That you forget about time, place, you forget about score, you forget even about who you are or where you are.
Yeah.
And you're truly in the zone. And that moment is very precious.
Yeah,
and it is available here and there and everywhere. And that's why Prabhupada is the most magnanimous, the most munificent person. Because he has made this process available to one and all.
Yeah.
Whereas other people's made restrictions, they gave conditions, they gave a timeline, they gave different, you know, exclusions. He said, no, if you want to do Sankirtan, you can be on my team. And that's very encouraging. So I'm very grateful that you allow me to be part of your Sankirtan team. And I'm looking forward to seeing more and more generations of team players come out of New Dwarka, because this is the only team that's worthwhile actually fighting for. All the rest is a fake out. It's a fluke. I've been around the world 14 times. I've seen the places. It's just besides this, being part of this team, everything else is a pure waste of time. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to offend anybody. And so, to hear the Bhagavatam is such a gift, and we should never try to opt out and avoid this. No matter who gives the class, and no matter, you know, how... Because Krishna is there, and he's ready to reveal himself in the association of the devotees. We take one last point. Original, you had your hand up. Thank you, Garuda Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for considering me. I was just looking at when you said, what's the antidote for the narcissism and the misconception or the thought of I and my? I just was aware of that in Marine Corps training, the recruits are not allowed to say I, my, me, or my. They have to say, this recruit, first of all, request permission to speak, and then this recruit requests whatever. And then I was just taking that concept down in personal thoughts and prayers, like this heart is feeling gratitude for belonging to Krishna, to being able to serve devotees, things like that. Do you think that it's like a good idea to maybe in our personal thoughts and
yes, why letters? Not? It can help. See oneself in the third person. Or at least put yourself at the end of it, like Narada is doing here. He's listing the rishis and the rishis and the sages, and at the end he says, "Yeah, I was also there." But you know, he first gives the lineup, and then he also happened to be there. Whereas otherwise, if you happen to spend time on social media, it's mostly about moi, I, me, and mine. And so to develop a more humble attitude, not just politically correct humble attitude, but actual humility, then means to go out and share this knowledge with others and not hold back. Because humility doesn't mean low self-esteem. It doesn't mean insecurity. It doesn't mean self-flagellation. But it means we're actually doing our own homework and helping other people to do theirs in a kind, considerate, and compassionate way. And that's Srila Prabhupada's wonderful contribution. So thank you for sharing that. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ke Hare Krishna.